Hello and welcome
to Our Love is Disgusting.
I'm Ray Kump.
I'm Lucy Steiner.
We're lovers.
We're in fucking love with each other.
We fuck.
And we're also just pigs.
Hello and welcome to Our Love is Disgusting.
Hi, baby.
Hello. We should really, should we redo that intro? It sounds all muddied. We have almost better equipment now.
Yeah, I know. We need to ramp it up.
We should like just record moaning into it. Yeah. My anal sex moaning.
Welcome to Our Love is Disgusting.
Oh, so good, baby. You really don't have to hug my asshole. I mean, we don't want anyone to listen.
No.
How was your week?
Ideally, we would have no listeners, and this could just be something that we replay for ourselves while we're doing anal things.
Yeah, it's like a journal. It's like a sex journal that, like, isn't hot. Yeah. Like, it just reminds me not to, like, go past a certain depth to, like, you know, I don't hit anyway. No, I'm kidding. I have a decent dick. I don't know.
You have a great dick.
I know. I try to ride the line between self-deprecation, but yeah, letting people know I can fuck.
Yes.
You know, it usually works out. This is Sunday now. Not now, I'm saying it is Sunday.
Yes.
And just letting people know, it's like the whole Kump Enterprise / All That Was Disgusting has been delayed this week. We had, you know, a series of a comedy of errors, I guess, mostly involving gas. Yeah. Recording them all one day.
Yes.
Number two for me. I did the Kump Patreon earlier today, and now I'm doing this, and then we'll do the Kump Sunday episode later.
Okay, what, is the show just for you to plug the Kumps?
Look, this is a vehicle to get people into Kump, all right? You're just here for the ride. Why don't you start a Steiner podcast?
Yeah, it will. It'll just be about, you know, nice things.
Yeah, it would kind of be an interesting bridge, kind of like All That Was Disgusting would be the meeting of these two disparate like entities.
Yeah,
like you used to be ranting, but it should be about like unicorns and plums.
Right, it's the exact same cadence.
Yeah,
that you have on
can you give people like a 30-second example?
Welcome to the Steiner podcast. I don't know. Yeah, I was looking at the poster that I have of this unicorn. And, you know, their horns are fancy and they're sparkly, whatever. But, you know, it's like, am I going to have to at some point offer my asshole up to the president so that I can, you know, keep this unicorn thing going for myself? I don't know. Does the unicorn protect me? Or do I have to protect the unicorn? Is it an endangered species that I'm going to have to protect from the CIA and from the Navy hospital boat?
Now you're taking my idea. It was cute.
Is the Navy hospital boat going to gun down my unicorn?
It was cute for a minute. It sounded like early Kump. It didn't make any sense. Not like new, powerful Kump that has a focus. But then you went to my Navy hospital boat, which is some of my best material.
Yeah, but Navy Hospital, look, it's controversial who the Navy Hospital boat belongs to, because I'm the one who had to deal with the actual anxiety of being murdered by the Navy Hospital boat.
Oh, that's right.
And then you spun that into your Navy Hospital boat. Fair enough.
This is why you need Steiner. So, like, when you have these ideas, you can, you know, because at the time, what was I going to let that float? I'm like SNL. I'm stealing from everyone.
You get a week in and you start feeling the pressure.
Yeah, you see the pressure and see if you don't steal from me. No, I mean, that's a good point. You did kind of come up with, but it wasn't a bit. You were actually nervous that the Navy hospital boat was going to kill us, which is interesting.
I think I had a dream of being killed by the Navy hospital boat.
Right.
And then that kind of poured in. It was one of those dreams where, like, even though it's silly, the anxiety pours into your waking life a little bit.
Not for me, but that's cool. I'm trying to be SN, but like I'm not haunted by dreams. I'm a man in my 30s. I live outside of the dream world. You, like much of our native brothers and sisters who were displaced and genocided, hold more account to dreams, which is interesting. The dream world being this kind of permeable thing, part of life. I don't know. I know tragically little, or much less than they should, about Native cultures.
Yeah.
But it seems to me there's a theme, in some of them at least, of the dream world.
Are you saying it's their fault that they were killed because they were daydreaming the whole time? Or what? Let's level here,
oof,
babe. What
no,
are you saying?
Didn't mean that at all. That's all Steiner. That's for the Steiner podcast. Wow.
I'm just saying this all seems very binary.
No, I was being very, I was very open to the idea of dreams, but you, you're like Christina Pazinski over here. we don't like to bash comics on the show, but we do like to.
I mean, look, it was just, I've actually seen her before. I do think she's pretty, she's funny.
No, they're very, look, like, I didn't see it on my end of Twitter.
I mean, look, I do think it was like a little bit, the 7-Eleven, 9-11 line was a little weird, just in that.
It almost seems like she was just going for the offensive, you know, attention grabbing bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes, you know, there's a precedent for that. It's more like, it seemed to be comparisons of different kinds of Indians, and then what kind of Indian is 9-11?
The ones who work at the CIA?
I guess so, yeah.
I'm sure there's a few Indian guys who worked in Alex Station, maybe. The Bin Laden unit who invented Al-Qaeda, along with a bunch of white guys. I mean, it's multicultural in that sense. Yeah, I don't know. Were people really losing their shit? On my end, I didn't see anything about it until you showed me.
I mean, it's the kind of thing.
I don't spend all day on Twitter, to be fair.
Yeah, I do. You tweet more, but I spend more time looking at it.
I'm a net, not positive. That sounds wrong, but
you're a net output.
Yeah.
I'm a net input.
Right. Yeah. I'll say you are.
Yeah.
But people were like, kind of. I saw, like, you showed me some of the tweets, but I didn't see in the larger scope people.
I mean, look, it's like it's one of those things where it's like,
do people really make $30 million for Netflix specials? That was our biggest takeaway.
Right? Oh yeah, somebody was saying like, does she really deserve a $30 million Netflix deal? I was like, did she get $30 million?
We don't know. I mean, I know like that they make a bunch of money and they're very successful and good for them.
Yeah, which is great, but it's like
does
Netflix pay that much?
They can, but like, I'm sure they pay Chappelle a ton of money.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they pay, like, whatever, Christine Pazinski and, you know, along with Tom Segura, they have a very successful podcast, a little more popular than ours.
Yeah.
A little bit. And I'm sure they paid her a very, you know, fair wage, whatever you want to call it. And if that's $30 million, good for them. But, you know, I don't know what the going rate is. I don't know much. I know there was a thing about, was it Simone? Not Simone. So who was the one who was getting all mad about paying for, like, you know, Netflix, like, not getting paid enough?
Oh, Monique?
Oh, it was Monique, yeah. And was it Cat Williams who was like, no one gives a shit about Monique? I mean, like, Cat Williams is crazy, but he's great.
Yeah, yes.
I don't know. Whatever. Point is, I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like it's weird who gets in trouble and who doesn't. Like it's always random.
What? Oh, Cat Williams?
No, I mean, just in general. Like, it's weird who gets in trouble for what they say and who doesn't.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, look. I mean, there's this thing of like she's. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like it's one of those things where it's like this thing, this Twitter controversy. I feel like it'll be over in like 3 days.
She's not famous enough.
It'll turn over.
I feel like. I mean, I know she is. Again, and this is no, like, oh, I don't know if Christina Pazinski is famous enough. I would have her on my show. No, of course. She's very famous. But I don't know if she cracks the popular culture the way some people, for whatever reason, do. She makes more money, I'm sure, than a lot of the people who you would think are more famous.
Right.
There's a weird bubble there where, like, I'm also tragically aloof to what things are even popular anymore. And that's why I have you around, this younger... She's an adult, don't worry.
I'm the pop culture girl?
You have to be. I mean, am I going to be?
Oh, this isn't going to work.
I'm here making squiggle beeps all day on my synthesizers. Whatever. This is us basically not caring.
This is something that we don't care about. We're talking about a topic that we don't care about and that most likely no one listening cares about.
Yeah, that's a good point. It just happens to be something we like... I saw last night, and that was Twitter. On my mind. Yeah.
we didn't even describe what you got in trouble for. We're the worst at exposition.
This woman, we really are like both comp. Yeah, the woman, she's kind of famous. She's far more famous than me, but you know, but fuck up. It's a bunch of butcher wrestling cows.
What is 9/11? 9/11 is 7/11. How would anyone know what the fuck we were talking about?
Yeah, being in the loop. This is not cum. This is a fucking. You better come prepared for a love's disgusting. We don't explain shit.
We're talking about the hot topics of the day.
You mentioned, speaking of hot topics of the day, talk for a minute about how you want to get back into baseball. I got to turn this goddamn heat down because I'm getting hot.
Aw, baby. I noticed your cheeks were getting a little red.
Well, I'm just drunk.
Yeah. Just drunk. Baseball. Yeah, I mean, I used to be into baseball. I was like a little baseball girl for a little while. During that season where the Mets almost won the World Series, I got really into it. A friend of my boyfriend at the time gave me this shirt that was like a Mets McDonald's shirt. It had a little McDonald's logo on the back of it, and it had a Mets logo. It wasn't the regular Mets logo. It was like a rainbow Mets logo. And
what is this story? I leave for 10 seconds, and you're talking about some shirt, your McDonald's shirt? What?
He got a McDonald's.
You want to watch baseball.
He got a McDonald's Mets shirt. I'm talking about when I used to be a baseball girl.
Okay.
And and they won. With the first day I wore the McDonald's Mets shirt, the Mets won, right? And then they kept winning, and so I kept wearing the shirt until it was kind of, like, dirty and it smelled. And I took it off, and then they started losing.
Took it off during the game?
I took it off during the game.
Were you just getting fucked during the game? Is that what's going on?
I was in the middle of a gangbang, and one of the guys was like, you know, your shirt kind of smells.
I'll take it off. And then Mookie Wilson, fucking whoever was on the team at the time, Giannis Cespedes, broke his ankle because you stopped getting dicked.
I stopped getting dicked with the shirt on.
No, all right. Well, the reason I bring this up is because, you know, you wanted to.
Yeah, I want to get back into it because you showed me one of that great, terrible play.
Right. We discussed it in ad nauseum on the.
Okay, that's actually due exposition for this.
Right, no. Well, I played it on the show. You want me to play a clip of it? Let me describe what's happening.
Okay, yeah, sure.
All right. Just talk.
Look, he's going to bring up the clip. It's getting cooler in here. That's good. But
can you vamp for more? This is what Steiner's going to be? Is Steiner going to be a recap show for Comp and Love is Disgusting?
I'm going to be recapping what the temperature in the room is. But no, yeah, I like baseball. You know, people shit on baseball now, and it's all about football. It's like if somebody isn't getting terribly injured, then it's like it's not worth anything. But you know what? Baseball is about the human drama of watching people waiting, right? And that is something that's, I think, closer to the human experience than football. I mean, it's like, you know, there's a, you know, you see the pitcher on the mound and he's sweating. And he looks kind of like, he doesn't look like, nobody in baseball really looks like an athlete. Like maybe two guys on the team look like they're an
Celebrate
athlete.
From anywhere. And they were.
I was trying to set it up smoothly.
Oh, good job, babe.
Well, thanks. You know, I made this point on the other show that they never look like athletes, but they were elite athletes.
They are, yeah.
Those uniforms are the worst. I'm sorry, I guess I have to do that. I brought it up on the other show I'm on. It's obnoxious, I'm sorry. But these uniforms, like, baggy, and it makes guys who have, like, the most built quads in the world look like they're fucking kind of dumpy.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It really emphasizes, like, you know, like, the tummy and the butt. Unless I just notice athletes' asses.
No, it's I mean, when you watch football, you don't even, like... You don't even like big men, typically, like big built, you know, like muscular
men. No,
it's
not really my thing.
I don't think you're an ass person per se.
No,
but when I made you watch a couple years in a row the Super Bowl, and you, when you see those men's asses, you kind of lose it.
It's just fascinating. I mean, I don't even get turned on by it.
Yeah, you do.
I just think about like there must be people. Like it's more like a fascinating thing of just how pronounced the asses are.
Right.
Where it's like, I feel like there must be a market for this.
It's the kind of thing where it's like, No, it's kind of thing when you're a young person and you see someone of the opposite sex, or of, you know, when you're, if you're homosexual and you see your sex, or if you maybe realizing you're bi. I don't know. Point is this: that sense of like, you know, oh, like it's this girl I like, but you don't say you like her. Oh, there's something interesting about her. It's, you know, it's just kind of fascinating, and you realize over time that you just want to, you know, be inside that. You're seeing these asses, and you're going, no, it's just intellectual. It's just I'm just fascinated by it. I just can't look away. And then what is the, let's just cut the shit. What's the fantasy?
No, the fantasy, I feel like we've talked about this on the show before. The fantasy is there's another man, right? And again, not usually my thing to like fantasize about two men together.
Oh my God.
But it's like one man, there's like a smaller man, and the smaller man is just, kind of like rubbing down the football player's ass in oil.
Wow.
And that's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
No one's getting fucked.
No one's getting fucked. I mean, look, if I was in the production studio and they were like, look, this just isn't, it's a little too niche. We're going to have the ass fucked at a certain point. I'd be like, okay. Mm-hmm. But that's not the vision.
No. So you feel yourself being kind of forced. Part of your fantasy is being kind of forced to comply with the ass being fucked. Is to go, I acquiesce, look, and you can begin fucking his ass now.
This is all business for me.
Yeah.
I'm a rational woman.
Sure. But you, like, you like, the, like, your fantasy is very complicated, is the idea that you have no choice. The commercial interest will intervene, and you'll be forced to watch the asshole be fucked.
Yes.
Yeah, that's... No one really knows what goes in, you know, how you work, do they? You are just a little black box.
A little black box.
You never figure out exactly how to turn. I mean, I have my success.
Yes.
But like it's a complicated weaving in and out.
But you were just made for me.
Yeah.
Like a goddess in a grove just made you out of whole cloth.
Yeah.
Just for me.
Clumps of clay, dog shit. pissing shit.
She didn't know how perfect it was going to be. She was just like, here you go.
Here's some piss and shit and clay.
Well, what do you want? You're not royalty.
Yeah. You have the queen of Victorian England.
But I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah. And now, right. So, okay. So.
And I'm not like, you know, it's like this magical grove. Like, yeah, I'm no prize either. I'm just like I'm a little rat.
A little nymph rat.
I'm a little rat girl.
A little nymph rat girl. You're like the rat, the nymph that got turned into a rat through no fault of your own. Well, maybe some fault of your own.
Yeah.
You sexually teased a wizard. Yes. What are we talking? This is great.
I don't know.
Okay, so I'm going to play this clip. If you want to.
Oh, like, right, baseball.
We'll do a little, I don't know, play-by-play again. So we're watching it. It's apparently the Devil Rays.
Okay, yeah.
Are they Devil Rays or the Manta Bay, Mandalay Bays, whatever, the team?
The Mandalay Bay, isn't that where the shooting took place?
Well, yeah, but it's in Vegas. It's a big place in Vegas. Mandalay, wait, did you think Mandalay Bay was just some kind of like bay?
No, but I wouldn't think that there's a baseball team named after it. I mean, just the Mandalay Bays.
I mean, only after that. They were named in honor of them. The Mandalay. Oh, yeah, because we had an episode.
The Mandalay Bay False Flags.
There was an episode of Tim Dillon's Going to Hell years ago that was named Mandalay Ray.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I forgot about that. Okay, so they're coming from behind. The LA Dodgers are in command, I don't know about commanding lead, but they're there. And then this guy, this Mandalay Bay guy, is about to hit the ball. And we'll just do a play-by-play, I guess. So the ball's about to get pitched. Going up in the air. So he drops it out of his glove. He's going to ground it, and he drops it out of his glove.
Like, and he really drops it. It's like it flies in the other direction.
His children don't love him anymore.
Yeah.
He's a buffoon. And he launches it to the first baseman. First baseman. This is the catcher who I just noticed that. He tries to do some kind of sweep move where he's like, I got it. I'm going to do this weird like motion where I kind of sweep the floor like in a spinning move, and the ball falls out of his glove like an asshole.
He tries to break dance to the plate.
Yeah, exactly. She tries to fucking do a little break. Let's watch that again. It's a little break dance. Oh, he's trying to do a fucking Grandmaster Flash move. This dumb fuck. Oh, this guy. They're all so happy. Everyone's so happy on the other team.
Yeah.
Oh, look at these guys. They're doing the way. I mean, this is a little embarrassing because they haven't even won the World Series yet. And he's like doing the airplane run.
Right. It's literally just mocking their their two errors in a row.
Yeah. It really is amazing. And then you said we should watch baseball, which I can't argue with. I went through a baseball period. I'm more of an NBA boy. But but you're going to get what you want. We're going to watch the last games of the World Series.
Yes.
I mean, hope, if it goes seven, we'll watch three. I guess. We'll just watch them. I don't know if we'll enjoy them, but
yeah,
you're reminiscing about your the days you spent getting fucked to the sounds of baseball games. It's a lazy Sunday afternoon, a doubleheader, yeah. You're getting double dicked. Just two older men.
You can't imagine me in any context not getting fucked.
Well, I mean, you took your shirt off. I don't know. No, you're right. When your weird boyfriend's ex, his friend gives you a shirt and I don't know, a McDonald's shirt, and you wear it. It seems the kind of thing you go, well, we came on your shirt too much, so here's a shirt I have lying around. It doesn't sound like just innocent play. It sounds like here
it's,
you.
It's frivolities.
It sounds like here use this to clean yourself up. You're kind of disgusting. I mean, I know we did this, so it's our, here's our shirt. It's my responsibility to give you your shirt. Please clean up. It's gross. I'm kidding. No, it's, I know you didn't get fucked.
No, I've never gotten fucked. Ever. Not before you.
Not even me.
No.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think that team is demoralized now?
I have to imagine that it's like, I wonder, it's something that I've always wondered. It's like when somebody or two people like that fuck up that badly.
Yeah.
Like, what is the vibe between them and their teammates? Is it like, do their teammates kind of treat them like shit until the next game?
You're not supposed to. It depends on how, that's the problem with baseball and us. We don't know anything. I'm serious, you remember in the game, the second to last game in the finals, when Danny Green, at the end of the game, they were up and they could have won the whole thing. And there's a play where LeBron goes to the basket, like a draw, and there's two guys, and he shoots at Danny Green, who's open, and he misses the shot.
Mm.
He got death threats, you know.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was legit. There's an outpouring. I mean, this is a guy who's supposed to be one of those guys that can just shoot the ball like an assassin. And he's done that in the past. This year, everyone kind of agrees he really wasn't that good this year. But, the whole being a shooter thing, I think, comes and goes.
I would love so much to just talk to a person who wrote a death threat to a basketball player.
Yeah.
Like, I'd just love to know what kind of person does that.
Probably the chief of police. Yeah. I mean, who are we kidding? Yeah. No, I mean, it is interesting. It's not even trying to take the obvious thing, but it's like you're writing an email to care that much about a sport. That's the obvious thing, but also just like you care that much, and like you're it's one thing if like Kevin Durant sent that, or like if you know Chris Paul or like Michael Jordan. If they said, I'm going to fucking kill you, you're terrible. But, like, for someone who has obvious, I'm just based on just the nature of the universe, no ability compared to this guy.
Right.
This is an elite athlete. He's won multiple championships before Danny Green with different teams.
Well, it's almost like it's almost like an admission of that. Like, when you send a death threat to a player like that.
Right.
And you're just some slob.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like admitting, like, it's like, look, I'm a slob.
Yeah.
I could never do what you do, but you're supposed to be able to do it.
Yeah.
It's
almost like a thing in Game of Thrones. Remember when, like, when they were attacking Hodor?
Yeah.
And there's that runt, like, you know, the guys who mutinied in the north? The nice one. And then one guy goes like, look at you, big moron. If I was as big as you, I'd rule the whole world. But he's just this, like, he's not even that guy Carl who's, like, evil, but kind of, like, seductive or whatever.
Right.
He's just this runt asshole. But that is how runt assholes think. They think, right. if I just had the fast twitch muscle fiber, women would fuck me. And, like, they just forget how often they just, like, go to a bar and like bite a woman's tit.
Right.
And like don't blame themselves. Is that, you know, do you think that guy is good in bed?
No, I like he can't be. And it's like, I feel like there's probably something going on with him too, where it's like, you know, he's got a, like he's like, he's kind of like slow, but he's also like smart enough to know that he's slow. So it's kind of like an internal torture, like where it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, he's just like aware of himself enough.
He's not
to
Forrest
know.
Gump.
Yeah.
He's like, who is he? Like, who can you think of that would be as dumb as him? Trying to like Ben Affleck, Good Will Hunting.
Like, I'm thinking of this guy that I used to know from my hometown.
Do I know him?
Who would? No, okay. No. But he was this guy who, like, you know, it's like, it was sad. It was one of those people where it's like, it's sad until you talk to him for 5 minutes. And yeah, then you're like, oh, you're a terrible person.
Right. Yeah. Everyone acts like people who are like on spectrums or are like, we could talk about like the imperfection of IQ tests and all that.
Yeah.
But whatever we objectively agree to is someone who's not as, you know, bright.
Yeah.
And we act like they're all like mystical wizards who control the weather if with their emotions and like,
but yeah, it's a Forrest Gump myth. Yeah. They're all like they're all just like kind of pure.
Right.
But it's like, no, some of these guys have like, you know, angry boners that they can never satisfy.
Right.
And they take it out on the world.
Sure. You think it's that? You think it's just that they, you know, can't figure out how to jerk off? I thought the one thing they could do was jerk off. They can't. You think they're like this guy? Like, you think couldn't figure out like the rhythm?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, look, it's possible.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm thinking it was like someone like him, where it's like, you know, he's like, you know, he's not all there, but he also knows that he's not all there. Like, right. He used to talk about how it's like, you know, I just like can't like you know, I want to learn how to read, but I can't learn how to read. It was just like that would be torture. Like if you knew that you couldn't do these basic things. Mm-hmm. Like, you're self-aware enough to know you couldn't do them.
Right.
But you still can't do them. Like, that's gotta be torturous.
Yeah, but then, like, there's kids who, like, are like that, but then they learn to be funny.
Right, sure.
I guess he was too dumb to be funny.
Yeah,
or
no.
Too, are we talking about a handicapped guy?
Yeah, we're talking about a handicapped
guy. So he wasn't in school then, right? Like, he wasn't in your class, was he?
No, he was like a, you know, this is a guy who was like 35 or something, yeah.
Oh, when you were a kid?
No, like when I was, you know, 20 or whatever.
Okay.
And you know, it's like, and I talk to him, right? But then he'd start saying all these like all this crazy shit, like like how he wanted to hurt people.
Well, what are you? Oh, wait, like, elaborate, please.
You know, I talk about how it's like sometimes I just want to get an axe and come in here and like.
All right, well, let's start the conversation.
Yeah.
Over. So it'd be at like a bar or the coffee shop.
It'd be at the coffee shop.
Okay, so you come to the coffee shop.
As well, if you've been following the continuing story of Our Love is Disgusting, you know that the coffee shop in my hometown was a kind of a Lynchian place. It was the nexus for a lot of strange and despicable behavior.
I mean, that's what you'd like to believe. Right. The reality is, like, you're just not supposed to talk to everyone at the coffee shop. I've seen this coffee shop. I want to stress this. There's nothing special about it. It's just like, you don't just like the idea that, like, that this coffee shop, you just hop around to different tables and just immerse yourself. Like, now we're going to talk. Like, that's not how life operates.
Yeah, I have, I can't do the thing. I can't not talk to somebody who wants to talk to me.
Oh, really?
Which at a certain point I realized that's like, been a severe.
You know who can do that? Me.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no problem with that at all. I have no problem stopping people from talking to you.
You've done that before.
Yeah, the night we kind of our first. It's a complicated timeline with us. We you know, we had a little tryst, and then we you know, and a couple of years later when we reunited finally sexually.
Mm.
That night, I think I hurt the feelings of some.
You hurt the feelings of some degenerate.
Was he also mentally? He might not have been the most altogether guy, but he was a guy who was a, you know, hang
but
around.
But he wasn't handicapped.
He was. I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yeah, like he was more just like. I mean, look, maybe there's a certain, but he wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a thing where he had the IQ of a 10-year-old.
Okay,
you
good.
Know, it's like it was.
I wouldn't have cared, but good.
Yeah, but yeah.
He was basically just like, you know, he's
just one of these guys who just like, you know, he just
hangs around comedy shows,
hangs around women.
Yeah, and that was the night that I was playing Louis C.K.
And he always wants to talk to you about some like topical political thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it's a, yeah.
Oh, so, okay, I thought he was actually like kind of, okay, so he's this weird hybrid of a handicapped guy and just a political nerd. Right. Interesting.
But yeah, that was the night you were playing Louis C.K.
Months or years before any scandal broke. I mean, there's rumors is why we're doing about playing.
No, you were ahead of your time.
I mean, I was doing it with the Wildcats. I was, you know, they were the Golden Girls, and I was Louis C.K. chasing them with a fake dick. Yeah. Yeah, way ahead.
That was very funny.
Thank you. And then you were so impressed that you know, we had sex.
That was it. We were. I had no interest before that, but when I saw him with that fake dick. Just yeah. Tugging it. I was like, this guy, I got to hitch my wagon to this guy.
Look at that pug.
Look at him go.
This is beautiful. No, but so like, whatever, like you kind of said to me, this is like one of those guys that hangs around people. And I don't even know if the payoff is going to be that funny. I remember, I just kind of told him like no one, oh, no, it is kind of funny. Because I was like, hey, do you remember what I said? It was something like,
hey, this thing that you do, you probably don't mean to do it, but yeah, you just kind of makes people uncomfortable.
Hey, this thing you do, you kind of come around women and you just kind of talk to them a lot. You're making people uncomfortable. And you try to do the thing that, like, in that moment where it's like, oh, am I? Like, I'm going to feel like maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, yeah, totally. I'm sorry, I didn't know I was doing that. Like, no, I get that because you don't seem to have like any kind of sense of like social normalness, but like, you're just like people, you're kind of coming off
you
like
you just banished him.
Yeah, like people like kind of think you're going to hurt them.
oh my God.
And like, you know, just you're just creeping people out and they're being nice to you, but like it's just making people uncomfortable. So maybe just chill out.
you just banished him.
Well, good. I mean, why are you bothering people? This is not a clubhouse. I mean, it is. That's the problem with comedy. It's just a clubhouse. But it shouldn't be. And I had no power, but I was going to, you could just choose to banish people.
Yeah. And look, it's a trait I admire.
Just hate everyone.
Yeah. But this guy, you know, it's like he would kind of like make rounds,
right,
to see who was like had the energy for it. Basically.
Like he's Zach Morris or some shit.
Yeah. But this guy from the coffee shop,
right?
You know, he'd just kind of make the rounds and like,
oh, that guy. Okay.
You know, it's like I'd be, you know, hanging out there, and like he'd find himself around to me,
mm-hmm,
and you know, he'd just kind of like stand there, be like, hi. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, and I'd be like, I'd put in like, I'd usually put in like a good half hour.
Okay, so I'm Lucy.
Just talking to him.
Should we do this? Should I be Lucy?
No. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Like, it's like, you know, it's like I'd put in about a half hour. And then I'd start kind of trying to pull away, like you know, exit from the situation. And then he would do the thing, which I'm just like, it's just like kryptonite to me. I wish it wasn't, but it's like, I start going like, okay, I think I'm going to head out. He's like, okay, I'm sorry if I'm bothering you. I don't mean to bother anyone. And I'm like, oh God, okay. And I end up staying.
Wait a minute. Why, look, I would just be like, yeah, no, it's not. It's, you are, but it's fine. Like, I would just do that. Right. But, like, why can't you just do, like, no, you're not bothered. I just have to go.
Yeah.
You can't, but you're so bothered by it that you can't even do, like, yeah. Why?
And then it's like, because then it's like, that's when it would start getting weird. Where it's like, when you start trying to pull away, that's when he would launch into, like, I don't mean to bother people. People just think I'm a piece of shit. And sometimes I wish I just want to, like, get an axe to come in here and like, hurt people. And that, you know, and then it's like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't do that. You know, you don't really want to do that. Right? And then he's like,
that's really giving the soft sell on not killing people. Yeah. You don't really want to do that, right? I mean, it's probably not a good idea.
Well, I mean, I feel like when someone's in a state like that, like, you don't want to alarm them.
You can, I would, look, I wouldn't, like, I wouldn't ask you to do this.
Yeah.
It's not your social obligation.
Right.
But I'd be like, why don't you shut the fuck up? What do you think? You're going to put this on everyone? What, you're gonna bring an axe? Who are you going to kill with an axe? You think you're going to kill me with an axe? Why don't you shut the fuck up? I'm going to fucking get a bunch of people over here. And we're going to fucking have a talk to you, right? You're going to threaten people with axes. I'm one of those people. You're going to kill me with an axe?
Yeah.
You want to kill me with an axe? I'm going to start yelling at him. Spit in his face. I will never. Look, I'll take a fucking, like, you know, an imperial boot on my head.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm not, you know, maybe I won't join the French resistance. I will never be kowtowed and defeated by handicapped people. I will never let them run my life. Yeah. I will never let. What if the handicap guy hits you with an axe? Not gonna happen.
To be honest, I mean, look, maybe my survival instincts are off, but it's it never struck me as even when he said it, I never thought he was actually gonna do it. It was more just
Self pity is even more gross than killing people.
Yeah.
Why don't you just learn to have a conversation? Wasn't this enough? I told you for half an hour. Wasn't this enough?
Yeah.
How greedy are you, greedy little pig? Greedy. We spent all day with you? What am I, your babysitter? Pull your dick. Pull it out. I said pull it out. Oh, you want it to get ugly?
I'm going to teach you how to jerk yourself off.
This is how your dick works. Only when my mouth's on it. That's how.
What, you're going to kill his mouth with an axe? You're not going to get to feel as good anymore if you kill me with an axe.
I'll suck your dick forever, you son of a bitch. Don't you ever threaten me. Oh. I guess that is kind of funny. I just looked at the clock. That's a weird one. So how did it end in the real world?
It didn't really. I mean, I just, moved eventually.
Okay, so you're just...
He's still there to this day.
So, no, but I'm saying in the moment, he's threatening to kill people. How would you leave the situation?
I just feel like... I mean, look, because then it's I feel some obligation then to protect maybe society. I don't know.
Right.
And just say you don't really want to do that though. And then it was usually no, I don't really want to do that. And then, it's
did you kiss?
Then you just kiss him softly. No tongue, but you just kind of kiss him softly on the mouth.
Yeah. That kind cheeks. Of good job, boy.
Yeah. One on the cheek, one on the cheek, one on the lips.
Yeah.
One on the forehead.
Right.
And then, when he
goes... That's your move. And then you swipe up with your finger in the asshole.
Finger his asshole for a little bit. And then, that loosens it up. Eventually he has to go to the bathroom and then you sneak out.
Nice. Oh, so you just milk him. Yeah. Milk shit out of him.
Yes.
Nice. Interesting. It's very interesting. What else is going on? What topic? We were on baseball? Was that from baseball?
Somehow we got from baseball to that.
It's also the anniversary of coming up. We have a lot of Halloween anniversaries.
Yeah.
I guess not.
You're going to be a birthday boy very soon.
Yes. Thank you. It's not a much of an anniversary, but it's a year. It'll be a year since the time we went to that concert.
The concert?
The concert. The concert with the noises? Do you not remember at all? At that old theater?
Oh, yeah. That wonderful concert.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, we enjoyed. It was a great concert. But I did yell at people during it.
Look, it was a very... In art, we're going to sound like the assholes here, no matter
what. We told the story on the show before. So it's not I don't know who you're protecting.
Look... It was a very nice concert but it was kind of an ethereal sounding.
Yeah, not band. Our thing. It's self-indulgent nonsense.
And
I like electronic music. I like ambient music. I like music that has atmosphere and builds up a soundscape.
Right.
I don't like 30 seconds of vibrating silence. Literally like a fucking, like a subsonic note vibrating and then a pulsing A note. Once every 10 seconds. This is indulgent.
Look, generally there's a vibe at concerts where it's you don't want to be yelling.
No, yeah.
But if you, if you're whispering to each other a little bit, usually the music is enough to cover the whispering.
Right.
So it's not if you're not shouting out, you're not necessarily heckling.
Sure. Now we were heckling it, but to each other.
Yeah, and whispers.
Yeah, we were whispering to each other how awful this is, that this is the worst thing we ever heard. Just, we were kind of giggling every time we heard a note. Because of how it felt like Trey Parker was doing this. Right. It was like a satire.
Right.
It was bizarre. It felt like we were just in a bunch of room. I don't like to use this word, but a bunch of rubes who fell for a gimmick, who fell for a Nathan For You idea. And we're just into this band.
Yeah.
And then and it was just, there was like, but even that's too much, too fast.
Yeah, that's too upbeat for what this was.
And so we're kind of losing our shit a little bit. I could tell the people in front of me were getting a little annoyed.
Yes.
And if it was good music, I might care. You know this about me. This has come up. I don't like to be the asshole. Like, it's a weird thing about me. It's like, I do, but, like, I don't... There's an objective, like, I do feel like there's rules that I follow.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't like to be, like, the guy who I would hate.
You try to be part of a society.
Right. Like, I try not to be the person I would hate. But in this case, the fact that they liked this stupid music enraged me.
Yeah.
And we just kept going, and eventually they turned around and asked us to be quiet. And I just started going, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up.
But still whispering.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up. I'm out of control.
Yeah, you were, that was a really, it is a weird sight to hear you whisper yelling, shut the fuck up.
I'm saying like 10 times in a row.
Yeah. And it was just because the thing that made it really funny, because usually I'd be a little bit, I honestly like react to it maybe a little bit more like shocked.
Yeah.
The thing that made it so funny was that you could tell that this guy in front of us, who's like, you know, a pretty typical like Brooklyn hipster guy, yeah, you know, it's like you could tell that he had really like developed this thing that he was gonna say.
Yeah.
And that he was just gonna like, he was like, I have the perfect sentence, it's succinct, and it just delivers the message that this behavior is unacceptable. Right. And he turned around with such confidence and he gets maybe three words in and he's sort of going, shut the fuck up.
Really shut him down, didn't I?
Yeah, you really killed his dream of having that moment.
And then ended up just like walking. Like, it wasn't a full concert, and they just walked like a bunch of, went somewhere in the front. They tried to rat out the security guard, this big black dude. Like, he didn't give a shit.
He didn't give a fuck.
You could tell he knew it wasn't real music. Like, he was just like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't give a fuck. Dumb white motherfucker.
Oh, that was great. It was amazing how much he did not care.
Oh, yeah.
About what they were complaining about.
I mean, what's he gonna do? Just like yell at us for whispering?
At first, I thought maybe he'd like just give us a look, like just a look as if to say like, okay, you guys gotta cut that out.
Right.
But it's like, he didn't even look at us for like, no. He was just like.
I'm sure, look, if this guy wanted to, he would have dragged us out.
Yeah.
He was a big dude. Like, he was a fucking, like, I wouldn't
it's
have.
It's also, like, just by virtue of him having to work there, if he had said, like, you guys need to keep it down, you know, it's like, we respect
sure.
that.
I mean, I'm not going to, like, I don't run around like Lord of the Flies going, like, you know, look, I know you work at McDonald's, but I'm fucking making the sandwiches now.
Yeah.
That's not what I do. Just because I'm bigger. Yeah. But regardless, you know, whatever. He had both the authority and the physical authority to.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he chose to use none of it. So we won. And then we went and had pretty mediocre Mediterranean food.
Yes.
And that was our Halloween last year.
Yeah.
I think we watched Hellraiser, didn't we, afterwards?
Yeah, we watched Hellraiser.
Yeah, we mentioned it last week. We brought up Hellraiser. We watched some of the movies you guys have recommended. We've been watching some of them.
We watched I Saw the Devil.
Very interesting film.
That was a great movie.
I liked it. What I like about I Saw the Devil, it's basically about, the movie starts with this like pretty brutal serial killer. I don't know if he rapes her. He rapes other women at least, but he, you know, this pregnant woman who was like on the phone with her husband, who happens to be some kind of elite security guy.
Yeah.
And so hang up the phone, and he basically kidnaps her, kills her, tortures her. And this guy who, like, I guess protects Miley Cyrus or something, whatever, he's a VIP security guy.
He protects some, you know, hologram performer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hologram anime performer.
You know about that stuff?
Yeah, that stuff's sick.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, the hologram performers.
Oh, they really have those? Yeah. I know they had like the ones that were like Tupac, but I thought that was just a thing in anime. They actually have like the actual performers do concerts.
They have like cartoon performers.
Oh my god!
It actually looks pretty sick.
Wow.
But okay. Yeah, he protects one of those.
Yeah. Well, either way, they train him pretty well. Yeah. And the whole movie is just him. Going after, like, he's like six suspects, I guess, and he like goes through all of them and kills, like, basically brutalizes them.
Yeah.
Until he finds the guy who probably actually did it. And he spends the whole movie just beating him for the rest of his life, then letting him go and doing it again over and over.
Yeah,
and I like how it demystifies the whole serial killer thing.
Right,
it just kind of debunks the notion you should be afraid of these people. Like, yeah, they prey on, I've made this point a million times, they prey on hookers and weak women. But like, yeah, why don't you go fight some anime security guards? See what happens. Now you're in a world of hurt.
Yeah, it really is. It's pretty great how they just give this guy like zero dignity.
Yeah, and then there's the other guy later on who's like a cannibal. He thinks that makes him cool.
Right.
And like, it's just like, this is notion of like, yeah, this meat. He didn't say this, but I would have been like, this meat's not even good. Human meat sucks. We eat garbage. Like, why don't you be a cow? You fucking pig.
Yeah. No, it's so much better. No, it isn't.
Yeah. You just like to pretend to have a dick.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
And we watched, what else did we watch horror-wise?
We watched, you saw, this isn't horror, but we watched, you saw The Nightmare Before Christmas for the first time.
Snore. It's fine.
You actually, like, I honestly, like, that was a pretty big, that was a sharp decline in your interest, because we started the movie and you were like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, and it is. Like, visually, it's pretty
cool. No, it's really interesting. It's fun. The whole, Halloween, it was cute.
Yeah.
And it went nowhere.
the problem is there's almost no plot.
Yeah, it's just like, the gimmick falls apart. Maybe it's too good. It seems like with the Mr. Fox movie, with Anderson one and the Isle of Dogs, it feels like the wonder is kept up more.
Yeah.
Where I feel like maybe the intricacy of their backgrounds they're using, you kind of forget that it's real.
Mm.
Like the other ones do a better job of keeping it grounded with certain background elements. You kind of always remember these little stop motion things. I don't know. And like in little bristles of hair and stuff. But this one just felt like a cartoon after a while.
Right.
Regardless, yeah, it was a boring plot, stupid characters. I think Jack having an expressionless face is fun for 5 minutes and then makes you really not care about the character that much. There's a reason we care about faces.
Right.
You know, everything else in Hollywood is very face-oriented. Yeah, so I'm sorry that I didn't, like, you know, just stay intrigued by a skeleton for 2 hours.
Look, it's all the thing with him is his expressions. They're all in the legs.
Yeah, no, it's the scurrying is funny. But I'm old school like that. I need someone to be looking at me while we fuck. Even if it's an asshole. No, it was fine. It was just fine. Tim Burton's got really very few home runs, in my opinion. He's got
Edward Scissorhands.
Is great. Yeah, Edward Scissorhands might be his only great film. Beetlejuice is great.
Yeah, those might be the two.
I'm sure Frankenweenie's cute. I don't think I ever saw that. And it might be... Oh, Ed Wood's phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw it.
We'll watch Ed Wood. Because Ed Wood's great. Ed Wood is a great movie. But yeah, Tim Burton in general is like... I don't even know what it is about him. It started around Sleepy Hollow. That was like around... Because the Batmans were good too. I mean, Batman 1 and 2 were pretty cool. So he has like a decent amount of good movies, but he really, everything he's made since Sleepy Hollow has been dog shit. You've seen Sleepy Hollow, right?
Yeah, I saw Sleepy Hollow. I remember like not loving it that much.
Yeah, it's just boring. Everything's been Helena Bonham Carter, having shitty hair, being kind of like attractive for a wench, that kind of vibe. And then Johnny Depp's just kind of a zany...
There's only so long that you could keep up, like, the intersection of cute and ghouly.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's not that fun. Not everyone is as immersed with, like, just kind of the macabre. And then the problem is, you know who is? It's always, like, 13-year-old, could be attractive, but who cares anyway because they're 13, and there's something weird about them, and they're just, like, think they're better than they are girls. who like are just like think that liking Tim Burton's a personality. It's a phenomenon. I think it persists to this day. You still see him sometimes. You're like, you really fixate on this Jack. What's his name? Jack Christmas.
Jack Christmas. Jack Skeleton.
Jack
Skeleton. Jack Skellington.
Such a dumb name.
The Pumpkin King.
But he's a skeleton.
It's like women who fantasize about being Harley Quinn,
right?
But with a little less teeth than that. Like, it's like, you know, they don't want to, the Joker is too scary to them.
Right.
They just want a guy who's a little goth, but ultimately a cuck.
You know where, you know how old Harley Quinn is?
How old?
When do you think she made her first appearance?
Oh, well, she made her first appearance in the animated series.
Okay, so it's like the 90s. Like, this is not an old school character is my point.
Yeah.
It's just something they gave him. I'm not a Batman buff, I'm just saying. Like Harley, I don't even know what these girls who want to be Harley Quinn are into. They, like the idea, it's
being
it's,
mistreated. I guess.
Yeah, it's just like you. Oh, I want to hang. I want. It's just a lame thing.
I mean, to be fair, look, the animated series is a little bit better about, like, even though it was, you could say it's kind of fucked up that it was played for laughs sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's like. The animated series was better at being like, no, like, this is a fucked up abusive relationship.
Right.
But it's like, you know, with the new, I guess the Suicide Squad thing tried to turn it more into a romance. So it's like, yeah. You know, there is this kind of like double thing. There is this kind of like sneaky thing that Hollywood does sometimes where it's like they'll give you a bad man character.
Right.
And like infuse him with like certain kind of like, vague, sexy, or admirable qualities, and then when young girls see it and they think they're sexy, then some actor will write an op-ed where it's like, how dare you? You should be ashamed for finding this sexy.
Yeah.
You're encouraging toxic relationships. And it's like, okay, but you were selling this to give 13-year-old girls a wet vagine.
Wet pussy. You can say pussy. We're vagine. Is the gene different than the pussy?
It's a
subset
of French.
Okay. More no, French. Yeah. It's like it's also a lame. Like, I want to be around while a guy hurts people.
Right.
It's like, you know, why can't you be a serial killer?
Oh yeah, that's
why
a good
can't
point
you be,
too.
Why can't you be ugly Shalice? Fuck.
Shalice. I know what you're going for.
Ugly Charisse Theron. Is it Charisse?
Charlize Theron.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wait. Oh, like.
Well, she uglied herself up for the role.
Yeah, that's true.
And I never saw that. Was it Monster?
Yeah, Monster. I never saw that either. But even she had a girl who was just around. Because Christina Ricci plays that.
Yeah, but no one remembers her. Dumb Christina Ricci. She wasn't. No one's sitting around going, I want to be Christina Ricci for Halloween. Unless you're Wednesday Addams. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just like, why is Harley Quinn. Because they just like the idea of being quippy. Look, it'd be the worst thing. The worst thing you ever encounter in your life is someone who's like being quippy, and the even worse than that is when they're good at it. Like you can objectively say, well, you are good at making quips, I guess,
right.
Which makes you all the more hateable. These people who are good at one-liners. If you know any like one-liner comics out there. You ever remember in real life, you'd fucking the biggest
serial rapists.
I hate them so much. I'm not talking about like Anthony Jeselnik. I don't know. I've never met him, but there's some other people out there, and I'm not quite gonna name. Maybe someday soon I will name names, but very good with words. And I hate this motherfucker with a passion. but savant with words, apparently, according to everyone else.
Were you in a feud with Mitch Hedberg?
No, not Mitch. That's what I'm saying. There are people who do it well. But like, you're either that or the next level down is just the most hateable thing in the world. And you know exactly who I'm talking about. And I'm not going to say it. Don't worry. But I hate this guy.
I really like to imagine like 12-year-old Ray going to see Mitch Hedberg. Yeah. And Mitch Hedberg was just like really fucking mean to you. And now you just hate one-liner comments.
I'm just glad you're a deed, you dumb scumbag junkie. But like sitting in my room going, you dumb junkie.
Yeah. like you and your parents went to meet Mitch Hedberg, and Mitch Hedberg was just in a, you know, drugged up frenzy. He was like, your son's kind of ugly.
He wasn't a one liner.
He's not even clever. He's just a mean man.
It's like someone asked me if I wanted a frozen banana, and I said no, but I might want a regular banana later. So, who brought the fat kid? Throw me off here. Throw my whole vibe off. I gotta shoot up now. No, I think I always liked Mitch Hedberg as a kid. But yeah, maybe it's just one guy I hate. And he's not even a bad guy. But his everything about him is so annoying. Infuriates me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, at least, right?
This is going to be a nice Easter egg for just like...
I want to build this up, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what it is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Worst. And is this a person you might know? He got some success.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I remember I had a really great set in Knitting Factory once. He came up to me and he was like, give me this like tag. That was the most useless, idiotic thing I ever heard in my life. And I was like, what? Thank you. That's fucking like great.
Oh.
The worst.
This is gonna be the. This is gonna be a. You're gonna start a feud here.
Good. I care. What's he gonna do? Fucking spit all over me with his dumb words?
No, I'm excited.
So what are we holding this back for? Oh no, he might. You don't want to make enemies? Yeah, I do. All I do is make enemies. Yeah.
Oh baby.
Sorry, am I making you uncomfortable?
No, I'm great.
Great.
I like this about you.
Thank you.
It's how you show your strength.
It's my strength. I have very little upper arm strength when I do this.
You're so strong, baby.
I can't do a pull-up. What else are we going to talk? Do we have any other
topics? I love having a tough guy for a boyfriend.
Listen to me, you spectrum comic. You... it seems like I only target people who are of questionable mental capacity. Like, definitely not, like, officially, but kind of, like, just people who are on the fringe of society, at least. I'm very, very comfortable just pushing people over the edge of society.
You're a brave man, baby.
Hey, look, it's just, it's not as creepy as, I mean, there's certain, other people are afraid to say it.
Yeah.
All right, it's not me just joining. I never joined the crowd doing it. It's like, you know, if it was a gang of rednecks, you know.
No, that's true. It's like, you know, it's like by the time society at large gets to shaming someone publicly.
Right.
You've already been doing it.
Yeah, I'm already on that.
You're hanging up your hat.
I'm the Batman of this kind of stuff. I'm just dealing with it before it becomes a problem. What's the Bush doctrine? I'm the Bush doctrine of weird creeps at parties.
You're a preemptive.
Yeah, preemptive
public shamer.
Yeah, and I don't make a big public thing about it. I don't do the carry thing where I get blood and piss and put it all over the guy.
Yeah,
I just tell
them throw tampons at her.
I just fucking they threw tampons at her.
Yeah,
that was a fun movie.
Right, blot it up.
Oh, because she had a big bloody pussy. That was the whole plot of the movie, right?
That's the inciting incident.
I mean, you would think that would be kind of the thing. It was kind of, or was it?
I guess it is kind of the inciting.
Oh, because incident. she had a big period bleed at some point, right?
Yeah, because she was like, oh, right, because she has the period and she's freaking out because her mom didn't tell her about periods,
right?
And so she runs out like she thinks she's bleeding to death.
Yeah.
And then they start to throw tampons at. It actually is a pretty creepy, like, when you think about it, like, from the perspective, if you see that as, like, an adolescent girl, mm-hmm. that's a pretty nightmarish scenario.
Sure, but it's also a really weird way to act. I mean, sometimes you have to hold an individual accountable. Like, you didn't have to take it this far. I mean, did I bring this story up? This might be the thing. I remember my parents, I've definitely told this story before, my parents serving me cream spinach as a young man, which I enjoy cream spinach now. I like cream spinach a lot. I didn't want to eat it. I didn't like it. I told him I didn't want to eat it. It seemed disgusting to me. And, like, the smell, the texture. My dad forced me to try it. And I immediately threw up all over the table.
Oof.
Now, you could argue, well, he didn't want to do it. He forced you to eat it. Sure. But I do accept the idea that, you know, but that was a little overreaction. Now, I don't know why I didn't do it on purpose. But, like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think reflexively throwing up is necessarily an overreaction.
But there is a certain, look, the notion that that's just not a cool way to act was burrowed into me.
Yeah.
I don't know how exactly I manifested it, but I stopped throwing up when I didn't like something.
Through psychological abuse.
Look, somebody needs, like, look, psychological abuse is the clipping wrenches or whatever of a bonsai tree.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying that this is as a... I'm not saying that this is as extreme as that, but that kind of reminds me of, like, I remember, like, hearing some anecdote about, I think it was one of the Wilson brothers, because, the Beach Boys, like, the Wilson.
Oh, I meant Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson. No.
But the Wilsons grew up with an abusive dad, and one of the ways that he would, torment one kid was he hated, I forget who it was, probably Carl. Carl.
And, like, I know it's Brian Wilson.
Yeah. You know, Carl hated tomatoes.
Oh.
And so his dad would, like, make him, as a punishment, he'd just make him eat tomatoes until he threw up.
I would tell my dad, I hate pussy. Shows him. Love you, baby.
I love you too. I think that's a good place to end.
All right. All right, it's been fun. Where can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheSteinBag. And where can they find you, baby?
Twitter, Instagram at Ray Kump. You can listen to the Kump podcast coming out Sundays. And the Patreon at patreon.com/RayKump for extra episodes every week. So we'll see you again next week.
We love you.